I just want to say, him saying the next best person, I'm not going to lie, he might be being a little generous, but I mean, have you heard Nick Bancic speak, you guys? I mean, that guy can preach. No, but in all seriousness, I am so grateful for Pastor Sheldon and for all of you guys as a church. Just how much I've been able to grow as a person in my faith walk since I started coming here. I truly just pray that in all things that I say today, at some point you would feel the same love that I felt when I first came here. So, again, to introduce myself, my name is Aiden Lanin. I take care of all of the youth program here at Thrive Church, and I'm super, super grateful to be here. So, let's just get right into it, shall we? So, we're super excited. It's the new year. Everything's happening all at once. And how many of you, just a quick raise of hands, how many of you have ever made a New Year's resolution or said, I'm going to start doing that when the new year comes? Some of you are being shy. I'm not shy. So, we'll get over that by the end of this. I know we're still waking up, but I promise you, I can guarantee almost every one of you has. So here's the thing is, we walk into seasons of life, we walk into these things thinking, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do this. And our hearts are so on fire for it, we're so motivated, and that's a great thing. Here's the thing is, that's not gonna last. So what I've entitled this today is, New Year, New Season, New Power. So here's the thing is, we make our goals, our aspirations. We lay out these habits that we're going to start doing. We lay out all of the expectations that we have for ourselves. We have new hope. We're excited again. But one thing we always forget to think about, forget to talk about, is there's struggles that come along with it. Everything you struggled with last year, you're probably still going to struggle with this year. All the temptations that you fought against for so long, they're probably not going away just because the date changed from 25 to 26. The patterns that we do in our everyday lives, when we say we're going to go to the gym, when we say we're going to read that book, when we say we're going to start talking to our spouse better, the patterns that we create, they're going to continue. Fears are going to creep in. So I'm going to ask you a question before I say anything else today. What happens if we step into this new season with our new goals and new aspirations, trying to use the same strength that we had in the last year? The new calendar does not create a new life. And that's something that so many of us are going to be disappointed by. We're going to be hurt. What's going to happen is we're going to set these goals and these expectations, these aspirations, and we're not going to meet them probably. What happens then? Does our motivation stay up? Do we continue being on fire for these things that we once yearned for? Here's what I have to say to you. If God is calling you into something this new year, you are also going to have to listen to him and accept the new power that he is giving you in it. Things will change. So what we're going to talk about today, we're going to read into the book of Acts, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we can get things confused. See, the Holy Spirit is not a it. The Holy Spirit is a living person. He lives within all of us. All who call themselves believers in Christ, he lives within all of us. So today we're going to talk about who he is, why he matters, and why he is so, so essential for this coming year. Now, one thing I like to do before I ever start reading my Bible or start diving into scripture is I like to take a look at the context. So, the book of Acts, who wrote it? Well, the book of Acts is actually a continuation from the Gospel of Luke. So, for those of you who don't know, Luke the physician, who wrote the book of Luke, the book of Acts was actually supposed to be basically 2 Luke. So why is he writing? Luke was an eyewitness of Jesus, and he says he wants to show that Jesus was continuing the work that he was doing on this earth through his Holy Spirit, through his disciples, through the believers in his name. Acts is a book about transformation. It's not about staying the same as you were. It's about moving into the new season with the same new power that God is giving you, and he's giving all of us. From Jesus being physically present on this earth, walking with the disciples, walking with us, to his death and resurrection on the cross so that the Holy Spirit could come live within us. Let's take our Bibles, and for a moment, if you have it, let's just open up to Acts chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. And it says this in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Let's take a moment, look inside ourselves. This is a moment where sometimes it's really hard for us to do. Let's be really honest with ourselves. The disciples walked with Jesus. They learned his teachings. They lived life with him. But it wasn't until that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit that they began to live in the same power that he did. See, I think what happens is so many of us call ourselves believers in Christ. So many of us call ourselves Christians. But what happens is we're not walking with any real power. How many of you have ever used a vacuum before? It's really hard to use a vacuum when you don't plug it in. It's really hard to use a vacuum when you don't plug it in. What is the point of being a vacuum if you are not plugged into power? What is the point of being a Christian if you are not plugged into the source? Here's the thing is, we can have all these goals and aspirations, and I'm going to sound like a broken record by the end of this, and that's okay. Because this is something that God has put on my heart, and it's something I want him to put on yours too. We cannot go into this new year and do the things that we want to do without seeking him first. We can pray, but are we praying or is it just a Christmas list? We can worship, but are we worshiping and laying our lives down at his feet, or are we just singing songs on a screen? We can read scripture, but are we just reading or are we feeding ourselves? Are we living a Christian lifestyle? Are we living with the power of the Holy Spirit that God has placed in us? Doubt's going to come. Temptation's going to come. Struggles are going to come. That same excitement that we had to start the year, that same zeal for Jesus that we were reading our Bible every day and we were in prayer and we were out in public praying for people. It was so good, but what happens is sometimes life is hard. There's a struggle with your coworker. Your manager's rude. That relationship you were in that you thought was perfect, it's over. Some days, you just have a hard day. My question is your motivation still going to be the same then as it was when you started? Probably not. So we can't live in our motivation. We can't live in even our daily disciplines, because here's the thing is, discipline without want, it's just discipline. You do it. Why do you do it? You don't even know. Some people brush their teeth every single day, which is a good thing. You should all do that, by the way. But you don't even know why you do it. You just did it because your parents told you to do it when you were a kid. There's something important behind it. It's cleansing you. It's strengthening your teeth. It's giving you something that you didn't have that now you have. In the same way, we need to be in connection with the Holy Spirit. Because there's days when we need to be cleansed. Everybody in this room has a secret sin. I'm just going to lay it out there. We all struggle with something. What is it? How many of us could take that secret sin and begin to change it if we began walking with the Holy Spirit every day? How many of us could take that daily discipline of reading our Bible and change it to say, Jesus, you are the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and I want to be with you? See, super exciting news. I'm getting married in 3 days. Thank you, guys. Thank you. But seriously, when I first met my soon-to-be wife, it was easy. She lived a little over an hour away, and it felt like every day I was making that drive. But here's the thing is, when God places something beautiful in our lives, it's easy to chase after it, to make that extra effort. Nobody made me drive down to Waupaca every day. Nobody. But I wanted to. It wasn't a daily discipline just because I did it every day for probably 2 weeks straight. I'm not saying it, but it wasn't a daily discipline that I was doing that. It was out of my own want in my heart that I said, wow, I really love this thing that I've been given. I'm gonna chase after it. I feel like sometimes we get so caught up in, I need to do this, and we forget about, I really want to do this. This is exciting. See, the same motivation that we lost is because we walked into it thinking we need to do this. Thinking this is the only way. But here's the thing is, things are going to happen and it's never going to go perfect. But that want is what keeps us coming back. Because God is never going to send us into a new season empty-handed. Here's the thing is, we're never going to be truly prepared. But if we trust in Him, there's never going to be a doubt in our mind that we don't have enough. So we're going to continue reading verses 4 through 8. And while staying with them, that being Jesus, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." I'm just going to pause right there before I finish. What does that say? It isn't for us to know. All the anxiety and the stress we feel over situations we don't have control over, that's God laying out the foundation right there. He says, it's okay. I know, you don't need to. Verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I'll be really honest with you guys, that's a verse we should all live our lives by. Because not everyone's a pastor, not everyone's a teacher, not everyone's an evangelist, not everyone is a construction worker, not everyone's an electrician. Here's the thing is, you're exactly what God made you to be. And he's given you exactly the power that you need for the season you're in. See, we read these scriptures and Jesus never once says to try harder, that you don't want it enough. He doesn't say that, no, you're not disciplined enough. No, this is your fault. You messed up, so it's over. No, he never says that. He doesn't say, do better. He doesn't say, you're not good enough for me. He doesn't say, you keep doing that? Behind closed doors, you're going to keep doing that? He doesn't say, figure it out. He doesn't say, you need to know it. He says, wait. My power is coming. So often we get so impatient. We forget to listen to that wait. We hear my power is coming, but we don't hear wait. Church, you all have a beautiful voice. What does Jesus want us to do here? He wants us to wait. You heard it in verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Are you walking in that power? Because because you cannot walk into this new season. You can not walk into your new life in Christ. You cannot have life change in Jesus' name if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Your new calling, the new job, position, it's going to come with new responsibilities, but it's also going to come with new power. The new assignment you have, the person you're supposed to pray for, the people that are challenging you in your lives, it's not a mistake. That's something God has placed for you, and he's empowered you to chase after that, to want to serve him in that way. This one is probably the most convicting one for me. New season, the new thing that you're walking into. It's going to come with fresh dependence. How many people in here love having control? I see a couple of you. I'm like, yep. We can be real with ourselves. Pretty much all of us, you know, if we don't have control, we will feel some form of anxiety or stress. But here's the thing is that's exactly what we're supposed to feel. Because when we're walking into these new seasons and we're out on the street and we're talking to somebody we don't even know about Jesus, and here's the thing is that new dependence that he gave us that for a reason, so that in those moments, we're not sitting here relying on ourselves. I'll be honest with you guys, if I had to rely on myself, today would be miserable. It'd be nervous. I'd be shaking. I would be probably crying before I got up here. But here's the thing is, God prepares us for things throughout our lives. And he gives us this new dependence in each new season we walk in. He's not saying, here's what you need, go do it on your own. He's saying, here's what you need, and when you need help, you come talk to me. I heard it said like this, and it was so funny to me. I just, it's one of those things you hear, and you're like, oh, where was that my entire life? And it said, you ask a question, you're a fool for a minute. But if you continue to talk not knowing what you're saying, you're a fool for your lifetime. Here's the thing is, I think sometimes we think we know it because God gave us this or God told us this. But here's the thing is, sometimes even when the teacher gives you homework that she just taught about or he just taught about, sometimes you still need to ask questions because you don't know yet. The disciples were followers of Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him. They loved him. They had questions every day. My question is, why is it so hard for us to do the same? So here's my thoughts on this is, they were followers of Jesus. And Jesus didn't give them a straight answer most of the time. And I think a lot of us can agree with that. When we're in scripture, when we're in prayer, when we're in worship, God often doesn't give us a yes or a no. It's usually like a maybe or soon. How many of you ever had a mom or a dad that said maybe? The amount of times in my life where I would ask my mom something, she said maybe. Eventually you learn. It's probably a reason you don't get a yes or no in that moment. It's because there's a lot of waiting that needs to be done. And in the case of your mom, it's probably a no. They were already saved through Christ. They were good as gold to get into heaven. It was all there. Eternity was theirs. They were going to spend eternity with God. That was locked in, but there were still new things that they needed to figure out. And without the Holy Spirit, they never would have gotten there. Because here's the thing is, following Jesus, it'll get you forgiven. But walking in the Holy Spirit, you're going to feel powerful. You're going to hear people talk, whether it's in church or online. You're going to hear I'm on fire for Jesus. I'm ready. Send me, Lord. But without the Holy Spirit, you'll never have that. You're never going to feel the same conviction. You're never going to feel the same yearning for the Lord. Now, I've said all this stuff, but I'm sure there's a few of you in here who are like me. I'm very practical. If you want something from me, please just tell me and I'll do it. Don't make me guess, though, because then I'm just like, what are we doing, guys? So I'm going to make this really practical application for you. Just because your year has changed, just because your goals and aspirations have changed, that does not mean your power source has changed. Because you're calling yourself a Christian, doesn't mean you're walking in freedom or overcoming that secret sin that you hold so close to your heart. Doesn't mean you're living boldly for Christ. That's going to come through a few things. You want to walk in freedom? You're going to have to surrender some things. You're going to have to lay some things down at the altar. I think we say that a lot because it's a really nice picture, but sometimes I like to think of it as this. Whatever it is that I was chasing, idolizing, or just letting sit in my head, I need to set it here so it can burn up and God can have it. Lordship. Lordship is a weird word because so many of us call Jesus Lord. So many of us call him King of Kings or Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We call him all of these things, but when do we live it? At what point are we taking everything that he has given us, everything that he has taught us, the power that he has placed inside us, and when are we using it? When are we chasing after his calling? See, it's really easy. I love that the worship team did Monday Morning Faith. I loved it. It was so perfect, and that was not planned. But God planned it, because here's the thing is, you can't live your life as a Christian only coming to church on Sunday. You can't live your life as a Christian just going to a small group. Here's the thing is, it's not about what you do when everyone else is around. It's about what you do when it's just you and him. When it's only you and the Holy Spirit, and that's all you have. You want to live boldly for Christ? Ask him. Say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me more. Give me more of you. All I'm asking is for you, Jesus. So all of this is super exciting to hear about, but let's stay practical. Let's stay applicable. What happens when we are living a spirit-filled life? Well, we're going to walk in freedom, first of all. The same secret sin that we struggled with for 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is, it's gone. You know why? Because you decided, I'm not going to live like that anymore. I'm not going to walk in that. I'm going to lay it at his feet. I'm going to let it burn up at the altar. Because that's not who he's called me to be anymore. You're going to have deeper intimacy with God. You're going to have a love that you've never experienced before. I'd be willing to make a good bet that most of us can say we felt the love of Christ at some point in our lives. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's no longer a feeling, it's living inside of you. You're going to have love. You're going to have joy, peace, patience. Do I need to go through all of them? You know what, I will. You're going to have love, you're going to have joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you're walking in the Spirit, all of these things are given to you freely. How many of you, raise of hands, had somebody give you a gift this Christmas that you didn't expect at all? And that freely given gift was the best thing ever in that moment. You felt so loved and so cared for. You felt cherished. In that same way, we can feel the presence of Jesus. We can have the Holy Spirit living inside of us in that same way. It's a freely given gift. It's something we didn't deserve, didn't expect. It was just given. And sometimes it's gonna come with hardships, and temptation's gonna come. The Holy Spirit is working in you. He's alive. You're gonna recognize it sooner. You're gonna resist it stronger. And you're gonna recover quicker when it does eventually happen. This is an illustration. I know all the youth kids are gonna roll their eyes at me when I say this because I already said it to them, but you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. Just like you can't stop temptation from coming into your life. You can stop it from building a nest in your hair. Every one of you got up this morning and said, I'm gonna get my Sunday best on. I'm gonna do my hair all nice. It's gonna be great. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. In that same way, the enemy is still gonna fly around you, but the Holy Spirit is gonna give you discernment to see that. The enemy's still gonna fly around you, but the Holy Spirit's still gonna give you the power to shut that attack down. I have a final challenge for you guys. God is calling you into a new season. He's calling you into a deeper walk with him. He has a greater purpose for each and every one of your lives. But you can't walk into this new year with your last year of strength. Jesus never intended for you to survive the Christian life. He intended for you to live empowered by his Holy Spirit. We're going to do something a little different. So at this time, if the prayer team could just do me a huge favor, would you guys just be able to come up front here, wherever you are, whoever's in here, elders, just please come up for a moment. If you're walking into this new year and you're still not feeling like you're surrendered, you're still not feeling like you're ready to lay it down at the altar, I just want to take 2 minutes. We're going to take 2 minutes, and I want you to come here, and whether that's saying what it is that you are going to do through your new Holy Spirit-empowered life, or whether that is just asking one of these people to help you pray, God, come into my life more. If you're in your seats and you want to stay sitting or standing, wherever you're at, all I ask is, if you are not actively praying for yourself, would you just reach a hand out and pray for the people who are up here? Jesus did not give us a church so that we could do this alone. So at this time, if we're just going to take 2 minutes, if you guys could come up and receive prayer or whatever it is that you need. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that we are not doing this alone. Jesus, we love you and we yearn for your heart. Father, we come before you with arms wide open. God, we just ask more of you in this moment. Lord, we thank you that this year is going to be different. Lord, we thank you that you've given us this power to walk in. I just want to encourage you right now, if you need prayer or you need a moment with God, I just encourage you to stay. But before we leave today, I'm just going to make this final point. You can't walk into this new season quenching the Holy Spirit and feeding the nature that you once lived in. One final scripture, Galatians 5, verse 17 says this, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." It was written in scripture that all of these things we want to do, they're not going to happen until we live in the spirit. Every believer in this room, every believer across this nation lives with two sides. You have your flesh and you have your spirit. You have your old nature, your old habits, and your old strength. And you have your new power, the new direction, and your new life. This new year isn't going to remove the conflicts in your lives. The family drama that's starting up, new year isn't going to fix that. A new season isn't going to eliminate the battle that you've been fighting for 15 years. But what you continue feeding it is going to determine where you're going. So if you're feeding it the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're going to fly. If you're feeding it the Holy Spirit, you're going to live with love in your heart. You're going to live with love speaking from your lips. You walk into this year feeding your flesh, well, I want you to know I'm going to be praying for you, because that's not a life to live. It's a one-way path to brokenness. Anxiety and depression, they're real. Don't think just because you call yourself a Christian, you're immune to the things of this world. If you're not walking in the Holy Spirit, His power will never be able to fight for you. This isn't a self-powered effort that we're pushing forward here. This isn't our own goals. This is a spirit-empowered new life that we are walking into. You don't go into your new home that you just bought and lay out 30-year-old furniture. If you have the opportunity, every single person in this room is going to get that new couch and that beautiful new flat screen. You're going to take it all that was old and you're going to make it new. Because that's not how you are anymore. Before I pray, I'm going to leave this. This year, the battle isn't about your effort. It's about which voice that you are choosing to listen to. Which voice you are depending on for the very cry of your heart. So if you just bow your head with me, Lord, we just thank you. God, I pray to all the new believers in this room right now, Lord, that you'd be working in them so fully, so powerfully, Lord, that it wouldn't be a moment of religious Christianity. Lord, I pray you would give us a Monday morning faith. God, that our hearts would be yearning for you. Lord, I pray all of us would call upon your name even more this year. Lord, I pray all of us would lay it at your feet today. Would this be a moment where we can forget about the old and bring in the new? Jesus, we love you so unbelievably much. We can't fight this battle without you. So as we walk out today, Lord, would you be moving in us? Would your power be moving through us? And would your spirit begin to live in our lives? In Jesus' holy name, and all of God's people said, amen.